Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired Sports Information Director of SUNY Oneonta and the current chair of the Athletic Hall of Fame Committee. And on today's show, we're going to welcome in Rose Valland Beckett, class of 2004, as we preview her induction into our Athletic Hall of Fame this coming June 7th, 2025. Welcome to the show, Rose.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, first of all, congratulations on this well-deserved honor. It's just incredible to be able to, get to the point where we can celebrate you like this.
It is. It's a huge honor. I'm glad to be a part of this, and it's hard to believe. And Oneonta is such a special part of my life, so I'm honored to be where I am right now. This is really
Well,
great.
so your sister a couple years back went in. Certainly you were there watching her get inducted. So what does it feel like now to kind of, join her in this prestigious club?
It's wild, and I'm truly humbled by the experience, and I've always, watching my younger sister who's just excels, on and off the field. She's absolutely remarkable. I've often looked up to her, even though she is my younger sister. And when I heard about this honor, I thought, you know what? I'm not the best. However, I've been surrounded by the best. And that's really what I continue to remind myself of. And by being around the best and always striving to be the best version of myself, even now to this day, that's what I really live by is, surrounding myself by the right people and being the best version of myself I can be every single day.
Right. So what, how did you find your way to Oneonta? I mean, I know that we had a trail there of some outstanding Stanford athletes and stuff like that. So, I mean, was it Liz McGrail that kind of got you to look at Oneonta, or, what else brought you to Oneonta?
It was, it's interesting. And I would say, it goes back to my father. We at the time were living in Chazy, so north of Plattsburgh, there's college co coaches are not going to go up to Chazy. And, soccer was my love, my passion, my everything. And he had created a video, a highlight video, and he sent it around to different colleges, and Oneonta being one of them. Dave and Tracy got a hold of it. They gave us a call and they said, we'd like you to come down and do a recruiting visit. And it was instant, sort of that love at first sight, and I think really I attribute everything to Dave and Tracy, making me feel at home, kind of those parents away from, parents away from parents, or the ones away from home. But then absolutely, and in that process, our family had moved to Stanford. So I had met Liz McGrail. I had met Brooke Davis Trotta now, and certainly the entire clan of Oneonta people, went on the recruiting visit, met some really amazing individuals, and that's really where it all began.
Did you so I mean the transition from being a high school, standout kind of athlete to making that jump to college, did you feel like there was, I mean, how did that transition come for you?
It was a big transition. And again, growing up in a very, very small rural community, I wasn't a part of a club team. I wasn't a part of a travel team. And what we had is what we had. And that was a high school team that, really was recognized amongst the state. And, it was that piece. And again, attributes to constantly realizing I've got to surround myself by the best. I'm coming from a disadvantage because I wasn't exposed to all of those. And I'm with, all the Long Island girls and all the teammates that, were a part of, this significant training that I never had, and really having to learn and figure out what that work ethic was really quickly. Again, I think shaped what my experience was like, having to learn a lot very quickly.
So who on the team, or maybe within the program, upperclassmen maybe kind of took you under their wing? Because of course now, so your class included some, other Hall of Famers. I mean, it's, it's you, it's Sonata, it's Kelly. I mean, that was quite a freshman class that came in together. So, did you kind of hang together, or did you kind of try and see who could help you as upperclassmen?
I mean, so with the recruiting trip, I remember distinctly, the Henniger twins, who obviously, will miss Kristen forever, rest her soul. But the Henniger twins, Liz McGrail, Amy Ducharme, there was such a solid group of upperclassmen that really, really took care of us. And once we came there, our group, we were always very thick and tight and really stuck together. And that group of us, Sonata, Kelly, Amanda, Alyssa, there were so many of us that just, we were it. We were everything. And
Right.
then there was a whole group below us as well,
Right.
that we really meshed with as well.
So did you think at that time, because obviously your career culminated in the national championship. I mean, did you think as coming in as freshman, did you think that that was kind of what was building?
No, I mean, I had no idea that something that huge was possible. It was for me, it was more about being a part of a team and an organization and just having that family away from my own family and just having the best college experience possible. And every single year to see the growth of us as individuals and as teammates and, under Dave and Tracy, who are just absolutely amazing. It just grew into something where we started to think, wow, like we're going places. This is possible.
Yeah.
And to see it come was
So,
amazing.
yeah. So, what about at what point during your senior year did you think it could happen?
I thought, when we in our opening in one of our opening games, we played the College of New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I remember them from the year before and thought, we don't stand a chance with them. And when we had played them and were competitive and did well, I thought, wow, we're going to be something this year. And I'll never forget, and I remember the day, October 24th, because it was my birthday, we played Ithaca College and we lost. And that was our one loss of the entire season. And I remember that moment saying, we needed that to happen. And I still believe, that was the best thing that could have happened to us to see what it feels like to know, okay, we've got to remain humble. We've got to continue to work hard. We did. And then we persevered through the end. And when, once I realized, okay, not only are we now playing the College of New Jersey again,
Yeah.
how are we going to beat them twice? But then we're up against the University of Chicago, potentially, eventually, once they made it that far as well, who the year prior beat us 5-0 in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's a testament to being the underdog. And I knew we could always do something. We all knew we could do something, but being the underdog, I thought is the greatest gift we could have ever been. So
Yeah.
I'm thankful for that.
So, let's walk, because obviously we can't have a discussion about your career without, just talking a little bit about the game itself. Certainly, like you said, the day before the weather wasn't that great. We made it through, and now we're looking forward to this game, and we're down 1-0 late, and certainly, everyone talks about really the goal, but not really, because for me it was the play before the goal, which is your restart, putting the ball down and just getting everybody to go forward. I mean, can you remember a little bit and maybe talk through that moment?
Yeah, and I'll never forget it. I talk about it to this day, in my job and my career with my family, the power of 29 seconds, and I'll never forget the celebrations and the excitement of the Chicago players. They had it written all over their face, giving each other hugs. In their mind, they had won. They won. And I'll never forget when Amanda LaPola was tripped right at the
Yeah.
halfway, half field. And I thought, okay, now the clock is really going to tick. What do we do? And it really didn't even cross my mind to do anything other than you're going to put the ball down and you're just going to kick it. And I had never taken a kick from there. It was always Sarah Tauber or,
Yeah.
Colleen Wolbert behind me that they were going to be the ones, or Trish Jaeger, they're going to be the ones that take it. But I knew we didn't have time. And
Yeah.
I looked around and I thought, nobody's around me. I'm just going to put it down and I'm going to kick it as hard as I possibly can. And I did. And sure enough, right in the middle of the pile, and Brooke was there, to put it right in, which is just amazing.
Yeah. So did you feel like going into overtime? I mean, certainly, the way the game ended in overtime is still a crazy sight as well, because, Sonata was just trying to get in front of the goal again, and, lo and behold, it goes in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, talk about that moment.
So once we had made it to overtime, I think, listening to Dave and Tracy and looking at our teammates in the eyes and thinking, we made it. We are here right now. We just showed everyone what 29 seconds can do. We are not giving up. We're giving it our all. And I think us coming up, off of extreme excitement, motivation, and camaraderie versus Chicago feeling like, I cannot believe this just happened. So that the difference in the mindset and going in, and I just knew, all of us, it's everything we've got. You put it on the field, and, Tracy would always tell us, you're going to pass out before you die. You're going to feel just as sore tomorrow, whether you give it your all or not. So give it your all and do everything you can. And, I remember there was, a lot of pass and give and go over on the right side of the field between Amanda and Sonata. It went out to Sonata, and I thought, okay, I'm going to run to far post because I always remember Tracy. That's the one thing she would, always yell at us for. You better be on far post, get at the far post. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go to the far post. And when I saw that it was not just far post, but it was going into the goal, I froze, but and I'll never forget, I had my hands up in the air, and I just, we did it, we won. It was just unbelievable.
So what do you think a national championship moment for you, like how do you think it changed your perspective and maybe now, going forward post graduation? I mean, what do you think it's done for you?
I mean, it's something that I'll always brag about. Not many people can say that they're a national champion. But really, it's more about what does it mean to be a national champion and how do you become a national champion? And you think about what makes a successful team, and a successful team isn't always the team with the best players, but it's the team that has the combination of everything, the heart, the work ethic, everything, and all the skills that you develop within that get you to that point. And that's something that I just carry with me, and it's not, we weren't necessarily the best team, but we were the best team because we had everything in addition to the game of soccer, which was just really special.
And what kind of looking back on your preparation, I mean, what did it really take to get there?
It was everything, and I think for every single team member, it wasn't it, it we found a way through the guidance of Dave and Tracy to capitalize on our strengths. And I knew I wasn't the one with the most skill on the field, but I knew I could contribute my speed. And so I'll never forget, every single summer training on the Davenport pavement track, and just going, taking my parents' car and just running and running and running, to be sure that I was coming in and doing my best so that on day one of preseason, I was ready. And I think everybody had that mindset. They knew this, it's not just these 2 or 3 months of soccer, but it's all the other months that we have to continue to do what we need to do to stay strong and be the best we can be. And I think we all committed to that. So it was great.
So moving out, past your, post graduation, certainly you've got advanced degrees and you've moved up within the field of education, which is where you spent, pretty much the majority of your professional career, and now you're a principal of a middle school, which is always a fun age group. I know that. So how do you draw on some of that experiences as a student athlete into what you're doing now?
So really, it's all about being engaged and connected with what you're doing and loving what you do. And, my journey to being a principal was never something I thought, wow, someday I'm going to be a principal. It just sort of organically happens, which is, I think, those 4 years at Oneonta, the growth and development over 4 years. And I look at now the years I have now, I never thought I would be where I am, but I love every minute of it. And I think, I this isn't a job. This is a passion, and I think there's jobs, there's careers, and then there's passions and purpose. And I see that that's what I do. And a lot of it is because of my experience at Oneonta, in knowing what it means to love what you do and give everything you have into what you love. It just becomes so easy and so fun. And I hope, whether it's the students that I work with or the teachers or faculty staff that I work with, that I can continue to inspire them with the experiences that I've had. And then certainly with my own children at home, inspire them to understand what it means to work hard, be involved, be engaged, be, resilient, passionate, you know, all of those different things. It's everything, you know, and when those things fall into place, it's amazing what the possibilities are endless, you know, because you can't teach those things. You
Right.
either have them or you don't. And I think it's the experiences that we're gifted with that develop them, you
Right.
know, so
They say if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
it's so true. Yep.
Challenges. What kind of challenges do you face as a middle school principal?
There's a lot of challenges. And, you know, I think, you know, whether you're a middle school principal or you're in any career, business, it doesn't matter. It's hard. And I think when the work is hard, you know you're doing it right. You know, because if it's easy, you're not giving it your best, or you're not going above and beyond, or you're comfortable. So nothing should ever become or feel easy. Otherwise, you got to take a look in the mirror and think about what do I need to do differently. So I love the daily challenges. You know, education is ever evolving. You know, kind of learning and working with, you know, the continuous generations of students that are very different than when we were younger. But learning to adapt to them and hopefully inspire them to be the best versions that they can. But it's hard. It's very, very challenging. And when people don't see the way that you see, you know, it's fun to learn from their perspective, because I can grow too, you know, and I always live by I'm smarter today than I was yesterday. You know, so what can I learn each day that's going to make me a better person?
So, of course, you were in, you've been in education, and certainly, I just maybe want to talk a little bit about the COVID time, because certainly that messed a lot of things up,
Yes.
just from everything. How did you manage through that, and what do you think you learned as a person and maybe as a professional?
That absolutely was very, very challenging. And I think I learned that we can do things that we never thought possible. You know, and that directly correlates to my senior year at Oneonta. And, you know, we never thought we would be able to learn remotely and do the things that we do or have access to the educational tools and resources that we do now. Or as a family, being able to find the love and joy in the simple things and finding ways to do things differently that we never ever would have thought possible, that now we have those experiences. So again, it takes those challenging, hard moments, that reminder and that ability to be able to persevere, be resilient, get through it, that you come out on top with all these new things that, again, you just didn't think were possible.
How do you view leadership? Do you think people are like born to be leaders, or do you think people can learn to be leaders? How do you approach that?
I think in my opinion, you know, leadership is about learning and leading at the same time. And I think when you are a student of your own profession, you're able to learn and grow while also helping others learn and grow at the same time. And, you know, being mindful of not being a manager, but being a leader. And it's hard. Because you're never going to get everybody on the same page, and there's always the naysayers, there's always those that you just really, really struggle to reach. But I'm always reminded of be true to yourself, be true of your goals, always look in the future, and learn from your mistakes, grow from your mistakes, grow from the other perspectives too. Because sometimes those are the best educators, you know, so diversifying my mind and learning how other people experience life. Is so valuable, and has really helped me as an educator.
Do you find yourself lead by example, or are you one of the rah-rah, get on board kind of leaders?
It depends. I think I'm both. You know,
Okay.
it depends on what the situation is, what I'm doing, what I'm trying to accomplish. I think leading by example has to be 100% of the time, modeling what we want our students to look like, our faculty to look like, or everybody above, you know, everybody that I work with. Making sure I'm always leading by example, whether I'm in school or not. Same thing with being on the field or off the field, you know, if you look at the game, you know, the sport. But then the other piece is there are times where you have to be that cheerleader. You have to get people excited and passionate, because sometimes people do need that little boost. Or for us, when we need a boost, knowing who my go-to people are to give me what I need, and in finding what is it that inspires me, what is it that motivates me, so I'm when in those moments of needing a little pick me up that I can find those things and carry it with me.
So do you think that came Dave and Tracy? Like, how would you, correlate that leadership style from Tracy and Dave into what you are doing?
I mean, it definitely directly correlates to them. And I think it's having that mindset for myself that there's nothing I love more than being challenged, or nothing I love more than somebody telling me I can't do something to say, oh, watch me, I'm going to do this. You know, so being a competitor, not only as a team, you know, wanting to win something or achieve something, but also as an individual. So knowing that I have to be better, I have to strive to be better. And Dave and Tracy found that balance so amazingly, you know, and they would set the bar high and expect us to accomplish something. And there was no other option. You just did it. And when you didn't think you could do it, you had to figure out how to do it. You know, and that's life. You know, you're faced with obstacles and challenges all the time. And yeah, it's easy to quit. It's easy to walk away. It's easy to say, I can't do this. But that's not how I'm wired, and that's not how they're wired. And when you can push through and try and find those solutions, it's pretty amazing.
So you did play another sport, track and field, in the early days when we first started the program of the women's, and men's, and you were an All-American in track and field. Talk about the differences between, track and field is more individual, so you have to rely
Yep.
on yourself to do the training. Although you were again in with some pretty good athletes, Ashley and Kelly, and
Jen,
Caitlin,
yep.
people like that that actually kind of brought the program in the early years along. Differences between the two as far as how you prepared and.
It's very, very different, you know, and the pressure and the nerves of being an individual on the track, for me, it was very hard. I love being a part of a team. But I also like that I was constantly challenged to get a PR, do my best, you know, competing more with myself. And then again, I think it's really interesting how our All-American team was a team. You know, we were that distance medley relay, which I think goes back to who I am, of I am a part of this foursome, and I've got to do my part because my team is dependent on it. And we all knew that it takes each one of us, all four of us, to mesh gel together, you know, to be the best we can be. And the fact that we did it is unbelievable. And then cheering for each other, you know, we all had our different, you know, Kelly, Jen, Ashley, you know, we all had the different areas that we were excelling in. And again, to come together like that, capitalizing on each of our strengths, you know, and the fact that Matt LoPiccolo was able to see that in each of us really, you know, is a testament to him as well. He's a remarkable coach. He was absolutely amazing.
What do you think your legacy is then for you?
That's a good question. You know, I think it goes back to, you know, you don't have to be the best. You have to give your best and figure out what are your strengths, capitalize on those, and then understand what your weaknesses are and work at those. And constantly be challenged, and don't ever accept that you can't do something, because anything is possible that you put your mind to. And I think, you know, and I hope that I'm constantly able to remain humble, and that all of those can be mindful of that, because you're never the greatest, you're never the best. But when you're surrounded by so many other inspirational people, it's amazing what can be done.
Certainly not just as a student athlete, but as an ambassador for Oneonta and the athletic program in the college. The things that you've been able to accomplish, certainly we're all, proud of all the things that you've done, and for us to be able to celebrate someone with your success, both as a student athlete and now as a professional, is certainly, we it's a big joy for all of us, and it will be tremendous to be able to say thank you and, congratulations, when we induct you into our Hall of Fame. Is there anybody that you'd like to quickly thank? As we kind of get to
Sure. I mean, certainly my parents, you
the
know, mom and dad, and my sisters, Susie and Mary. But Dave and Tracy, you know, and Matt LoPiccolo, they're tremendous coaches that, you know, it's never about me, but it's about us, you know, and I think being surrounded by phenomenal coaches and family members that believed in us, is really something special. And then all my teammates, I'm friends with many of them to this day, good friends, and we communicate often. So in really just the college as a whole, Oneonta State, I'm proud to be an alumni. I'm proud to have been a part of the program and the experience educationally and athletically. It's a wonderful place, and I'm appreciative of everyone along the way, that supported us and took care of us and helped us, when we were away from our home. So I'm forever thankful.
Well, listen, I want to thank you again for joining us for this little kind of short interview, but it's a little longer so that people can get a sense of who you are and relive some memories and moments. And certainly, a lot of the things that you said today are certainly things that we could show any student athlete at any level about what it takes to, be successful. And like you said, persevere, be team player. You may not necessarily be the best, but you're important. And make feeling important and working with a group of women who were incredible. So listen, we're gonna we're looking forward to seeing you and your family again, and it'll be great to see and induct you into our Athletic Hall of Fame. Well deserved again. So thanks for joining me today on the show, and we look forward to seeing you in June.
Thank you very much. I'm honored.